The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the Pharisees, a lawyer, in an attempt to trip Jesus up, asked him, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the whole law is based, and the prophets as well." The Gospel of the Lord. About 400 years ago, there was a mother who came to church with her little child, who was about 3 years old. In the moment of communion, the mother got up to receive Holy Communion, and her little child stayed back. After receiving Holy Communion, the mother went back where the child was, and very spontaneously, the little boy placed his head over the heart of the mother. And the mother said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm listening to the heart of Jesus that is beating in your heart." 3 years old. That little child went on to school, and he, very good student, he became a lawyer, but he wasn't happy with that. So he actually became a priest. And he was a priest in the time in which Protestantism was spreading like wildfire in certain parts of Europe. So his bishop sent him to Chablais, which was the stronghold of Calvinism. And when he arrived, there were 56,000 Calvinists and 56 Catholics. But after about 3 years, when he left, because of his work, there were 56,000 Catholics and 56 Calvinists. He went on to become one of the greatest writers in the Catholic Church, possibly wrote the greatest work on love in the history of Catholicism. He was ordained a bishop when he was about 25 years younger than me. He went on to found a religious congregation and wrote a book that, if you lay people want to become holy, is probably the easiest guide to meditation in the Catholic Church. The name of that book is Introduction to the Devout Life. And I haven't mentioned his name, but I'll tell you. His name is Saint Francis de Sales, Doctor of the Church. Why do I tell that story? Is because you have the greatest treasures in your arms right now. And you know that. Okay, you've never heard anyone say that except Father Broome right now. But you know what I'm saying is true. You have the greatest treasures in your arms. And those are your children. All of those children can be future Francis de Sales, and it depends on you. Depends on you. I repeat, all of them can be future Francis de Sales, and it depends on you. The primary teachers of children are not the priests, nor the bishop, or even the Pope. The primary teachers of the children are the parents. I don't remember this because I was too small, but my mom told me that when I was one day old, I was going to be a priest. Because when I was one day old, I had my arms open like this. She said, he's going to be a priest. And here I am, 63 and a half years later, and a priest for 33 years, and happy to be one. Huh? Those good mothers have intuition, don't they? They have intuition. The mothers that really live out the faith, like my mom, and hopefully many of you also, they have certain spiritual insights that the Holy Spirit gives them. So, one basic idea after that story I'd like to expound upon is in the sacraments, okay, to understand the sacraments, you have to use your intellect, okay? I repeat, to understand the sacraments, you have to utilize your intellect. Because understanding baptism and communion, you have many, many symbolos. Speaking a little bit of Spanish now, many, many symbols. Okay? You probably remember in 11th grade, when you were studying English literature, you had to study allegories and yet poetry and prose and this and that. You probably, when you're in 11th grade, you had to study what a symbol is. Okay? You remember the definition? A symbol is a physical reality that has a spiritual truth behind it. And that's a definition that I've coined. I think it's a pretty good definition. Okay? It's a physical reality with a spiritual truth behind it. You'd be surprised how much we communicate through symbols. You'd be surprised. How many symbolic gestures you make every day, you're not even aware of it. For example, if I go like this. That's different than this, huh? Okay, this is a friendly gesture, this is an angry gesture. Okay, what happens if you kiss your husband? What does that mean? You want him to buy you a new car. Okay, I heard you. Okay. Chantajear, you say in Spanish, chantajando, no? No, it's a symbol that you love the guy, even though he might have bad breath in the morning, okay? How about raising the flag? Well, how about raising the flag, the American flag? That symbolizes the virtue of patriotism. What does patriotism mean? It is a love for country. That's why we're here. So many of you come from the Philippines and Mexico because you felt this country is where you can really make it, right? It's not perfect, but it's a country where there are many opportunities that you don't have in all the other places in the world. These are symbolic gestures. Okay, I'm going to tell you about one symbol that's predominant in baptism. And it's the candle that your little daughter has now, okay? She's got a candle in her hand, but there's a bigger candle behind us. Okay, behind you have a big, it looks like a big coffee cup, but it's not a coffee cup. It's a baptismal font, okay? And behind that big baptismal font, you got a big candle. And the candle is called the Paschal candle. And the Paschal candle symbolizes Jesus, who is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also said, you are the light of the world. He's the light of the world in capital letters. We're the light of the world in small letters. So you're going to light your candle after the baptisms, and you're going to be coming back to your child, and that candle is going to be, it's going to be lit. And you notice when you come back, you're going to be cupping the candle. Why? Because if you don't cup, it's probably going to blow out. You have to go back and light it again, okay? unless you have your own little lighter or you got your matches, which you probably don't have, okay? You have to go back there and light it. So that's Jesus, the light of the world, that you are called to transmit and bring to your children. Another story. I went to Orlando, Florida, where some of my siblings live. And I was visiting my parents, who have a house in Vero Beach, which is not too far away from Orlando. And they brought their first great-grandchild. And he was 3 years old, about the age of your daughter. 3 years old. He could already pray the whole rosary at three. When they told me, I didn't believe my kid at 3 years old. He can barely speak, no? How on earth could a three-year-old kid pray the rosary? And I said, hey, okay, Mikey, come here, let's say. Pray the rosary, so. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. First joyful mystery of the Annunciation. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Man, I was blown away. 3 years old praying the rosary. I'm a priest. I didn't pray until I was eight. But the reason why is because he's got good parents. He's got good parents. And he's my oldest nephew who turned 35 yesterday, okay? I happen to be his godfather. Who knows? Maybe it's my prayers. I don't know. I don't want to toot my horn, but maybe the prayers of a priest does have power, huh? But, okay, I don't know. Can your daughter pray the rosary at 3 years old? Maybe not. Maybe not. But I think that we underestimate children. Being a teacher, I call children sponges. Okay? Child is like a sponge. And if you put dirty water in the sponge, dirty water is going to come out. If you put clean water, then you got pure, crystalline water. Children are like sponges. And now more than ever, because the public school system is trying to poisonize the children through transgenderism, and that's coming out now in September, if not August. You have to fight for your children now. You don't fight for your children now, don't be surprised when he's 14, your boy says, I want to be a girl. Don't be surprised. You hear me? So if you don't work with these kids now, you're going to lose them. You got the full support of this church here. But for the love of God, don't drag your feet. I think I would be devastated if my daughter at 14 said, Mommy, I'm going to Kaiser Permanente and I'm going to come back a boy. I would be devastated. I would be cast into profound desolation, maybe the rest of my life, to know that I had a daughter and now she claims to be a boy. You hear me? So you've got to work on it now. Even though they're small, you got to work it out. Try to save these children. Try to save them. Never have children and teenagers been exposed to so many evils in the history of the world as today. However, as the great writer, the greatest novelist of the 19th century, whose name was Charles Dickens, what did Charles Dickens say? The worst of times can be the best of times if we're walking with Jesus Christ. So try to do all you can to bring these children up in the fear of the Lord and loving God. Okay, on the day of the baptism, you should know on this day whose saint we celebrate today. None of you know, huh? We celebrate, it's actually a very famous saint today. You want me to tell you tomorrow? You want to Google it in? Is St. Lawrence. St. Lawrence, martyr. He was actually roasted to death. He's the patron of barbecues, huh? He's actually roasted to death, in which they put him on like a barbecue grill. You ever have a barbecue? You see one of those grids of barbecue grills that you turn it? It gyrates. After he was being cooked on one side, he said, "Turn me over, I'm done." Like a barbecue. And St. Augustine says that the fire that was in his heart was more intense than the fire that consumed him. I love that. Don't you like that? The fire within his heart, the fire that was burning in his heart, which is the fire of the Holy Spirit, was much more intense than the fire that consumed him. So remember, someone asked you, what day was your baby baptized? August 10th. Well, was that the feast day of some saint? Ah, I remember what Father Broome said. Okay, yes. It was St. Lawrence. So if you're thinking about some confirmation name, you got it. Okay? Or the Mexicans, I think the Filipinos too, they'll actually change a masculine name into a feminine name. This is not transgenderism, it's just that that's their culture. And it would be in Spanish, Lorenza. Lorenza. And St. Lawrence Ruiz is the patron of the Philippines, right? We got some Filipinos here, right? The first canonized saint in the Philippines was St. Lorenzo Ruiz. So it's a double blessing, huh? A double blessing. So let's proceed with these baptisms. But I'd like to end with one last idea. Do any of you know what's going to happen as soon as you die? You don't? Well, I'll tell you. As soon as you die, you're going to go before Jesus, and you're going to say, "Give me the book of your life. Give me the DVD of your life. Give me the YouTube of your life." In other words, you're going to sit down and everything you've ever done, thought, or saw, everything you've ever done in your life, you're going to be judged on that. Kind of scary, huh? Kind of scary. And one of the principal things he's going to ask you is, what did you do to bring your children up in the fear of the Lord and the love of God? That's going to be, get ready. I'm making a prophecy that will become true. I gave you 3 kids, 4 kids, 5 kids, how many kids you have. What did you do to fill these children with the love of God and bring them to heaven? Jesus is going to ask you. Hopefully you'll be able to say, "Lord, I did all I possibly could in a very challenging world to bring my children up in the fear and the love of the Lord." We hope that the Lord will say, "Welcome to the home of my Heavenly Father." Amen.